Hi, everybody. Today's pre-accident podcast is brought to you by Underwriters Laboratory, Worker Health and Safety. Now, they've got a new 11-module program, and the entire reason they're sponsoring the podcast is to introduce you to these modules.
So the first title we're going to release is more informational for organizations, and it's really designed to help educate the entire population related to the new view of safety. So we get into looking at how the best-in-class organizations are utilizing these techniques to drive improvement, but ultimately set up the rest of the content that will be coming online at the end of the first quarter. This first module will be available for free, and we'll announce soon when you're able to access that content as well as where. Thank you.
All this at ulworkplace.com. Now, let's listen to the podcast.
I hope it recorded.
It did. It recorded. It says it recorded. It actually recorded. Yay.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Pre-Accident Podcast. I am your lovely host, Todd Conklin, and I'll be with you for this incredible ride today. I think you're going to like today's podcast. It's kind of fun. I'm going to talk to the National Director of Safety for a company that is big and does a lot of scary, cool crap, and her name's Marcy Fraser, and you're going to find her very interesting. I like her because she's this perfect combination of compliance side of safety, you know, the hardcore compliance people. And the softer side, no, soft's the wrong word, the more holistic side, the people side of safety. And she's kind of this perfect combination of both, which is really interesting. And I've known her a while. I really wanted to get her onto the podcast. This was quite a big deal because she didn't want to be on it very much. But I sort of tricked her and cajoled her. And long story short, she's on the podcast. So how's it going so far? It's a pretty interesting time of the year, I think. March is always fun because it tricks you into thinking that it's almost spring. So you've got all the kind of tricky spring things going on. Warm one day, not that warm, warm that, you know, in, on, on, off, in, off. So you're always kind of dealing with that kind of stuff. That's fun as well. Thank you for the big numbers. Holy cow. It's unbelievable to me how fun this podcast has become. And really what I think's great about it is how much we get to spend time with each other. If you're driving in your car or sitting in your office or, you know, whatever you're doing, we've had a pretty good ride so far. It's been interesting, and I've learned a ton, and I know you have. And thanks for your feedback and for signing up and for telling people and for giving me ratings and all the things that you have to do to make a podcast go. You're certainly doing them all, and the numbers just progressively grow faster and faster and faster. I don't think I really celebrated the fact that we are in the top 10 of government and organizational podcasts in the United States. So I don't know if we're third or first or seventh or 10th, but we're in the top 10. So that's how that worked. So a lot of people listen. And I guess that's good because it gives us a chance to spread the news and change the world, which is why we do these podcasts anyway. So enough of me. That's plenty for me, actually. So let's jump right into this podcast with Marcy. I know you're going to find this podcast interesting. I can't even talk. Interesting. Thank you. There's a bunch of stuff in here that I think is worth holding on to. Maybe we should talk a little bit after this one's over. I'll point out a couple things that I think are worth noting. And you listen carefully and see if we identify the very same things. Because there's some interesting discussion here around safety leadership from both the view from above and the view from below. So we'll talk more at the end. Thank you for listening again. Without any further ado, will you please welcome to the stage Marcy Fraser and her discussion of safety differently.
So I asked the supervision if I could go out with our powder men. These are the guys that go out and blow up the rock in the mine. And I wanted to do it because, number one, it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't want to do
yes.
that? That's true.
Number two, I don't know how to do it. You know, I have no experience around it. And I think there's some risk related to it. So what better way to figure that out than by spending the day with them? And so originally I wasn't going to spend the whole day, but I had missed out on the first day we were supposed to meet up because of the weather. And we had another talk about it, and they described more about what they do. And I said, oh, can I just spend all day with you instead of just half the day? They were like, sure. You know, what day can you come? So we worked out, you know, it'd be a Friday and be here at 7:15 because we start at 7:30. And, you know, we'll do all this in the morning and then we'll finish by such, such time. And I said, great. So I showed up and they took one look at me and they said, okay, you need rubber boots. You need some coveralls. And, you know, do you have a harness? Okay, we need to get you in a harness. And so they took care of making sure I had all the right gear on. They got me in the truck, and I said, well, how does this work? So they went step by step and told me, okay, this is how it starts. We go here first. And they let me do as much as I wanted to do and just said, if you don't feel comfortable doing anything, just tell us, and, you know, that's okay. But basically, I did everything that they taught me how to do. And so we loaded explosives in bulk first. And I might have overflowed the water once. And then we had the sticks of explosives. And we put the blasting caps in it. And we fed them in the pre-drilled holes in the rock. And then we flushed it with hose full of more explosives. Then we got up in a bucket. And we put a different kind of explosive with blasting caps and that, and tied detonation cord around all of that. And then at the end of the day, they have what they call a blast box, and they let me push the button. And it was really a very detailed process about how they do all that work and making sure that the area is clear before detonation. And, you know, you could feel the rumble and hear the boom and feel the pressure differential in your ear. And, you know, after that happened, there was another crew, and so they detonated theirs, and they looked at me and they said, well, what do you think? And I said, it was everything I thought it would be. It was a great time. And they said, we've never had anybody ask us to do this before. We've had people come and say, can we push the button? But to spend a whole day with us to actually do the activities, we've never had that happen before.
What do you think you got from the guys by spending the whole day with them? I mean, what was the value on that?
Well, I think it was value added to understand their working conditions, the specific tasks they're doing. And then to talk about safety, because they said, so you've never done this before. What did you think was, you know, a hazard for us? So I discussed some of the things that I saw, and I said, did I miss anything? What do you guys think? And they said, no, you know, we agree. And so it was great conversation from that point of view to dialogue about safety and how careful they need to be and what defenses that they use to prevent themselves from getting hurt. We talked about safety history. You know, do we know when was the last time we had an injury in this group?
How safe did you think the work was? I mean, it's high explosives work. How safe was it?
I thought it was pretty safe. I was quite impressed, you know.
What kept them safe?
Well, there's lots of things. They have a lot of defenses put in place, but the tools and equipment, the PPE, the training that they've had, some of the procedures around making sure the area is clear, all of that in combination worked out good. They seemed to have a good working relationship with the supervisor. If they were having equipment problems, there was easy dialogue around that. In fact, they talked about, because they ordered two new pieces of equipment, and the vendor, obviously, it's been having some problems with execution around it, so they've sent the machine back, you know, a couple times. And so it was a very easy conversation about how that all transpired, and it seems to be like some really good teamwork. I was quite impressed. I had a great time.
Will you go back?
You know, that's funny that you asked that, because they said, are you going to come do this again with us? And I said, yes, but I need to spread the love, so I'm going to spend some time with some of the other work groups and find out what they do and what life is like for them. And they were quite impressed with that. And I said, should I be doing it differently? And they're like, no, we like that approach. It's great.
But it seems like the second trip back maybe would be important, because maybe that signifies to them that you're serious about understanding how they do the work.
Yeah.
But I agree, spreading the love also seems important as well.
Yeah. And you know, they shared this story. I was telling somebody earlier today that part of where they go can be wet. So that's why we've had the rubber boots on. And they told this story about one of the workers got water inside the boot, and so his socks got wet. So he didn't have an extra pair of socks, so he dried his socks in the microwave. And so the workers didn't know which microwave he used, so consequently they used none of the microwaves from that point forward until the microwaves were replaced. So I'm thinking what I'm going to do probably someday soon here, if not tomorrow, is to buy each of the Powdermen a pair of extra socks that they can keep, so that if this ever happens again, which is probably likely, that they'll all have a dry pair of socks available to them, and that'll let them know I'm still thinking about
that. Oh, that's amazing. So introduce yourself. Who are you and what do you do?
So my name is Marcy Frazier, and I'm the director of safety for a large national company, and I'm leading our company through their journey of safety in the new view. I have a team of people that help me do that in collaboration with the operations folks, and we are all motivated in achieving the next step change improvement in safety. I think we have a lot of good practices and procedures and all that kind of basic stuff in place. And I think we're ready and we're hungry to find out what we can do next to improve things. And part of that is the new view, human performance, and learning teams, and you know all that it brings with us.
What's your plan? How are you doing it?
That's a very good question.
Thank you. I'm filled with many.
Yes. And the answer is slowly but surely.
That's an okay answer, though.
Yeah,
I mean, I think
it's
a good answer.
Well, first of all, people have to understand the concept, you know, so going out and talking about it, sharing with them what we're learning from you and others and, from the conferences that we go to, and helping them identify the opportunities where we can make those changes, that's how we're doing it. And we're trying to adopt the language, the vocabulary. We're trying to establish networks with other companies that are on the same similar journey, and trying to build upon our successes and our current practices and evolve them. It's good because we have the support of our upper management, but we also have the buy-in and ownership at various levels in the organization. And so we're trying to spread the message and trying to get all of us on the same page about what it means for our organization and what little improvements we can make. Because even though they may seem little, I think they equate to a lot. So like the whole concept of learning teams and operational intelligence, growing that out, you know, not just at one plant, but at all of our locations has been very helpful for us.
A really interesting part of your journey, I think, is the fact that your safety people seem to have really grown and blossomed when given the opportunity to kind of see the new view or to use the new view or to manage safety differently. Have you noticed that? Because it's really interesting at your place.
It's a game changer.
Yeah, totally. And people use that word all the time, but I kind of think it actually is a game changer for you guys.
For the safety team, I will say it has had a dramatic effect on the perspective that we approach events, on the way we measure success, on how we collaborate with our partners on the operations side, on the OPEX team, reliability team, and management, how we describe our activities and our successes. I mean, it's been a huge transformation for us, and we're still transforming in various ways.
Yeah, I'm not sure. At least in my experience, I don't know if you ever are not transforming. I mean, you're sort of constantly in a state of flux. And I like that because it kind of implies that safety is constantly moving and pretty fluid, and it's not an outcome to be achieved. It's a capacity that you're constantly managing. Now, you're sort of a double threat, a triple threat. Well, you are kind of. I mean, I'm not. That seems like you have a really strong background in compliance and regulation, and a really strong background in like human performance and system safety. I mean, you're looking at me like I'm lying, but I am not lying.
It is an unusual combination, and I only know that because when we've tried to hire people with the same skill set,
there aren't any. Well, they're just,
it's slim.
You can find lots of compliance people.
Yes.
And actually, good compliance people are rare and hard to find.
Yes.
But they generally don't have, how can I say this, the softer side skill.
Yes.
And you can find lots of good softer side skill people, and I almost can guarantee you they don't have the compliance horses. But you seem to have both. How do you mix those?
That's also a good question. How do I mix those? I think it's because you have to have an understanding about the different environments, you know. In the regulatory world, it's a very strict black and white environment that you have to operate in. And on the safety side, you have a little bit more flexibility because you're working with humans. You have to, you know, develop the relationships and the trust between people to make them believers. On the regulatory side, you really don't have to do that too much because it's, you know, we're not talking about the humans so much. We're talking about registrations.
Well, it's measurable. It's predictable. Yes. There's a threshold that if you meet it, you're good, and if you don't meet it, you're not good. It's really cut and dry.
Right.
It's pretty black and white.
And it's not that way on the safety side. I mean, the good practitioners will be able to take the safety regulations and not only interpret what it means for the organization in terms of what not to do, they'll be able to translate that into the various options for the organizations on what they can do.
So you must be a hell of a good auditor. I don't know if that's an awkward thing to ask you, but I would think actually that would make you a really good auditor.
I do have a lot of auditing experience, and I'll say when I've done audits, I'm not only looking for the compliance issues. I ask them, tell me, what do you do that's great? Because I want to recognize you for that too. But, you know, when they tell me that, I ask them, is that great because of the person that's in that job or because you've established a system that makes that greatness, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly.
Because those are the sustainable systems over time that despite whoever's in the role or whether they retire, that system will always be great because you designed it that way. Don't get me wrong. I love great people that are in jobs that they love to do and, you know, exemplify, you know, that greatness as well. But to sustain it over time for the benefit of the organization, that really needs to be designed into your system.
How do you manage up? We spend a lot of time talking about managing down, and I think we probably should spend a lot of time talking about managing down, but how do you manage up? I don't think we spend near the time talking about it. I know. Yeah. I think it's super important.
Because it's a delicate, delicate area, and so number one, I think you build the relationships and the trust. You know, people hire you to do a job, and you develop some expertise, and you do some benchmarking, and you develop some suggestions that are, how do I want to say it?
German? You trying in German?
Filipino? Japanese? That are achievable for your top management to understand and to help them transform. So getting them to network with top management from companies that are also going through the journey, exposing them to information, books, podcasts, etc., explaining to them your vision of the future and what their role is in it and helping define it for them goes a long way. But not so much to the point that you're dictating to them, that you're collaborating with them on building this future.
And then how do you sustain it with them? What's your normal communication look like when you communicate up on? Because you've got lots of stuff to talk about. You've got a big, complex organization or organizations. You're definitely transitioning towards a new view. You must report up a lot. I would think you would.
Yeah, so they've established some regular communications between the levels of the organization, which is great. And, you know, they have a very open door policy about, you know, discussing anything you want, really, not just safety. In order to continue the relationships, you need to make an effort to build upon what you have already as far as those working relationships and those ideas and the evolution. And, you know, because they, obviously the top management, they have a lot going on and they trust you to do what needs to be done in safety, but you can't disengage from them and let that go. You need to continue to draw them in and help them work with you to define the future. So.
Speaking of that, what do you think about the future? What do you think's next for you guys? What are you thinking? Where should we be thinking? What's ahead?
It's exciting times, I think, in the safety world because this whole new view and the evolution of moving from simply compliance to the new view I mean, even in our own profession, we still have a lot of work to do to open people's minds up to those concepts and redefining what's significant. And, you know, do I really want to spend a whole lot of time investigating an OSHA recordable bee sting versus a near miss from, you know, hazardous materials loading and unloading at a rail car or bulk truck? I mean,
so everyone at home, just play that, push the 15 second back and just play that about 50 times. Because that's such a bold thing to say, and it shouldn't be a bold thing to say, that a bee sting is not terribly valuable when you have a near miss at a rail car with chemical. I mean, that's really a remarkable thing to say.
Yeah, so for us, we're introducing some language to talk about what significant means to us, and therefore putting the resources and time and effort appropriately. So I think that's going to be an easy conversation for us in our organization, but I know for other organizations that's not as easy, because how many years have we been talking about recordables and lost times? And, you know, that doesn't change overnight. You have to constantly reinforce that and you know, try to control the drift back into that. And even for me, you know, when they say, oh, somebody got hurt, and what's your first gut reaction? For me, it's still there because I've been doing it for how long now? It's like muscle memory. But, you know, management's response matters. So you bring yourself back and you bring everybody else back that was there, you know, off the ledge with you. Yeah.
Come back.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you just have to keep at it and keep at it. And eventually it'll become that will become new muscle memory. And I'm looking forward to that time.
What else do you think is important?
I think that tools for the profession is another huge opportunity for safety professionals, because technology is evolving.
Yeah.
And being able to use our smartphones and these web-based programs to help us with data management and to, you know, build these databases and to, you know, analyze information for us, you know, whether it's industrial hygiene data or just your historical events, I mean, or your learning team, you know, I want to have a keyword searchable database from our learning team. So like if a learning team at one plant is going on regarding a specific type of motor or pump, they can go into this database, find maybe a similar one or one that's been done in the past, and they can network with the people who, you know, did that learning team. And what, isn't that great sharing opportunity?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to having something like that. And I think that the technology is going to enable us to do that so much more easily than what we have today.
How do you guys measure improvement efforts? I've become really interested in how we measure improvement.
Yeah, that's a very provocative question, because, you know, everybody's so used to the standard metrics of,
right,
you know, the recordables and the lost time, and, you know, everybody wants to put a number on things. And to be quite frank, I've had to specifically say, we don't always have to have numbers. We can have program goals, just like, you know, making sure we've trained people on the new view, that we've trained them on learning teams, that we've, you know, actively engaged existing champions to become learning team facilitators, that maybe we, you know, have other program kind of goals to help us measure our successes. And it's not saying that we're not paying attention to recordables, that we're not concerned about safety meeting attendance. Yes, we still do that. We still want, you know, 100% safety meeting attendance. But we want that to become like muscle memory where, yeah, that's going on. And we're more focused not just on the quantity, but the quality of those activities. So for safety meeting topics, are they value added? Do they apply? Are they from the learning teams? You know, those sort of things.
If you had one suggestion, one hint, one lessons learned you'd share to another safety professional on this journey, what would it be? And you can have more than one. One seems unfair, kind of. Crap, I got to pick one. I would wish for 3 more wishes.
Yes. One hint I would say is, if you really want to be successful, is to work at your communication skills so that you can build relationships with the people. And I mean all levels of the organization, from the people out there on the floor that are executing the work, to the first line supervision, to your plant manager, to your CEO, your operations, because the more that you can communicate with them on different things, the more successful you'll be.
Which is right back where we started. You riding around with the powder monkeys, right? I mean, yes. That's what you were doing.
Yep.
So what do you think about Marcy? Isn't that fun? It's so interesting to me that she talks about sort of creating structural change for leadership and structural change for improvement. And when she says structural change, she's really talking about change beyond personalities. And I really think that's interesting. I loved asking her the questions about managing upwards, because she's in kind of that hot bird seat, that catbird seat, right? She's a national safety director, which means she's got a whole board of vice presidents kind of chomping at the bit, and a whole lot of safety people and workers kind of on the back end of that chomping at the bit, and all these things kind of come together right at her point. She's the one that definitely goes to the fancy meetings and has the fancy conversations. And I liked what she had to say about that. There's a lot to be said about thinking long-term and strategically, but there's also a ton to be said about thinking systemically, thinking about creating systems that are sustainable and will run sort of in spite of personalities, in spite of events. That's becoming very interesting to me. That's really interesting to me, in fact. So that's one of the things you ought to kind of kick around, and it certainly is a little gold nugget coming out of this podcast. Thanks for listening. It was super fun having you on board. Thank you to Underwriters Laboratory as well. That's been really a nice little addition for the podcast this year. Also, thanks for all you do. Keep listening. Tell your friends. Sign up. Let's see if we can get a lot of people to listen and maybe eventually take over the safety world. That would be cool. Boy, that would be a really interesting thing to do. But until then, learn something new every single day, and I'll bet you did today. Have as much fun as you possibly can, and for goodness sakes, be safe. That's right, fans. This podcast included the term powder monkey.